It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. I hope you're having a great Sunday morning in the middle of summer, wherever you may be listening. I'm going to touch on potentially a third rail this morning, and I hope you don't feel I'm out of line in doing so, but it's been something that's been on my mind actually for several years, and particularly on my mind over the past 6 weeks since Memorial Day, as not only have I read so many stories about overcrowding of our state parks, national wildlife refuge, national monuments, fishing streams, etc., but I've seen firsthand what is just a significant increase in the use of our outdoor recreation areas. So the third rail is really this. Do we have too many people in America trying to use the great outdoors? And that's a question that is fraught with all kinds of downstream realities as one digs into it. But just a couple of numbers that indicate the severe pressure that our national parks are under. A record 332 million visitors last year to our national parks. This is up almost 100 million visits from 25 years ago. And that is up almost 100 million visits from 50 years ago. We have seen such a crush of people coming to see America's and experience America's most iconic outdoor beauty that it was never envisioned when the national parks system was set up that we would possibly have over nearly 350 million visitors. We're not increasing the number of national parks. Their capacity isn't increasing. Their natural resources aren't increasing. But the usage, the visitors, that's not unique individuals, that's visits. And those numbers are accurate because they count every single person that comes into a national park, as you know. Our national wildlife refuges. Last year, it's estimated that 67 million of us used and visited our national wildlife refuges. And if the numbers are right, 25 years ago, the number was roughly half of that. So we've had nearly a doubling of usage in visitation to our national wildlife refuges. I can speak firsthand of countless experiences I've had, particularly since COVID, but even before COVID, where I visited places that I visited 30 and 40 years ago, and I was the only car in a parking lot. Great example, Slough Creek, one of the most iconic hiking and fishing streams in all of Yellowstone National Park, also a place where I had a life-threatening encounter with a mother bear and two cubs, two grizzly bear cubs, some 30-plus years ago when I lived in Montana. But my point is this. I used to go, when I lived in Billings, Montana, into Yellowstone with my wife or friends, and we'd go to Slough Creek, and we'd park and get on a horse and ride up Slough Creek 8 to 10 miles, 12 miles fishing, or we'd hike. And there might be, during the week, there might be three or four cars in the parking lot. On the weekends, there were more, and there were more horses. But the parking lot always had plenty of room. I'm now in the 1990s, late 80s, 1990s. Today, if you go to Slough Creek, you could walk half a mile just to get to the parking lot from the overflow parking lot. The wilderness experience of being on Slough Creek in Yellowstone National Park is gone, totally lost. And it's overrun with outfitters who bring people in on horseback trips, tour guides who bring people in just to enjoy the beautiful walk. And it's overrun with fishermen who, if you had two fishermen on a stretch of river or two anglers on a stretch of river that you could see, that was a lot of people and you moved on. Now there are 20 or 30 people fishing where there used to be one person. So I think in part our numbers are absolutely crazy in that we're vastly understating the impact we are putting on our natural resources and the number of Americans that are using them. So the question really is, what are we going to do about this? Almost every state has gone to lottery systems. If you want to go down the middle fork of the Salmon River, the great river of no return, I've had the pleasure of doing that. You have to go into a lottery. You're not just going to show up and put your raft in and go on a 7-day wilderness experience. You're either going to use an outfitter, which is very expensive, and there are a limited number of spots. So in a way, it's a monopoly. There's no opportunity for someone to come in and charge much less or do things differently because these are licenses that are controlled and there's a small group of people. Or if you're an individual, and you better be really skilled if you are, that wants to float the middle fork on your own, you have to go into a lottery. You have to go into a lottery if you want to hunt big game in the West. You have to go into a lottery in some places if you want to fish. The idea of free access across America is over. In Illinois, you want to go hunt deer in Illinois as a non-resident? Use an outfitter or enter a restricted lottery system. You want to go to Manitoba to hunt ducks and geese? 3 years ago, they entered a restricted lottery system. Saskatchewan's talking about that. South Dakota limits non-residents. I mentioned last week, Montana wants to limit non-residents. It even wants to limit residents within a state from coming to certain areas. We are being overrun. The Appalachian Trail is being pummeled. Famous walks along the Atlantic Ocean, cliff walks that people have walked for 100 years to look at the ocean, are closed now because there's so much traffic that there's been so much erosion, foot traffic, that there's been so much erosion to these iconic cliff walks that they're no longer safe. All across America, it doesn't matter where you go, we have a fundamental problem. We have too many people trying to utilize our natural resources, which is one of the great things about America, because these natural resources belong to the public. But what happens when there are too many of us to actually be able to use our natural resources? You can't even go into the redwoods in California without a permit. You've got to register online in advance to drive up and go into the redwood forest. You're certainly not going to Yosemite without entering a permit lottery system. Yellowstone's one of the last places where you can still actually drive through. That's not going to last much longer. So much traffic, so many people, so much pressure on our natural resources. And this is not just post-COVID. This has been brewing for half a century. It's just we're more aware of it now because we're having an incredible crush. And this flies in the face of what I'm going to talk about in the second half of the show, all the individuals wringing their hands at the cut in government funding to promote hunting and fishing and boating and all these things. A question has to be asked, why are we promoting activities that are crushing the ability of our natural resources to handle them? And why are we promoting activities that compromise our own ability to enjoy them when we're so overcrowded? The answer to that is going to be pretty simple when I talk about it when I come back from the break. But it is, as I said, it's the third rail. Nobody wants to talk about it. And those of you listening, I don't know if you agree with me. You don't want to hear it. But I think it is something we have to talk about. How are we going to handle not only what we're facing today, but when our population increases by another 50%, how are we supposed to even begin to handle the desire of Americans and those visiting America to see our iconic places, to hunt, to fish, to bike, to boat? We're simply out of room. And as we become a more affluent society, more and more people have jet skis and have ATVs and have equipment and campers, and we're going all over the country. Alaska's no longer the last wilderness. It's being overrun as well. Go to Juneau, Alaska, and look what's going on in the summer in Sitka and places like that. This is an existential threat. I don't like to use that word, so I'll change it. This is a threat to the lifestyle we've known. I don't want to raise issues that I don't have answers to. This is extremely complex, but it comes back to the fundamental point. There are too many of us trying to use too few resources, and we never planned for it. I'll be back in just a moment, and I'll talk about what's happening to the Fishing and Boating and Recreation Fund and why retailers and others are so up in arms over the idea that it's not going to be funded. But it all ties back to this general notion. We need to have a big discussion on how America's natural resources are going to be used as they're being overrun. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of America, 720 WGN. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter here, your host, on a subject that, as I said at the beginning of the show, I thought about for years, but when it keeps slapping you in the face and you're looking at it in the way that I have traveled the country for decades and work and have been in the outdoor arena, I think it's a subject we can't ignore anymore. I'm not going to revisit what I said in the first part, but the whole basis is there are too many of us trying to enjoy too few assets in the outdoors, and something's going to have to give because the quality of the experience is declining no matter where you are. Doesn't matter what you're trying to pursue. There are more of us doing it than there used to be. Kerry Luff talked about it last week so well. Maybe it's the patterns of people have changed so much that we're getting so much more usage. There's no question about that. But there's no place in America that has any kind of quality in the outdoors that doesn't have more people using it than it did a decade ago. And there is no place that doesn't have substantially more people using it than it did 25 and 30 years ago. Which brings us to the Recreational Boating and Fishing Foundation. Yes, an entity created because of the largesse of the U.S. taxpayers. It was created to create a campaign. My predecessor on the Great Outdoors Show, one of the founders, actually, of this idea, Take Me Fishing campaign. What a great idea, Bill Cullerton. What a great idea. Here we are, June 10th, 2025, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Department of Interior terminated the Recreational Boating and Fishing Fund's cooperative agreement to implement the National Outreach and Communications Program, citing a shift in agency priorities. This decision came after an internal review process involving the Department of Government Efficiency, otherwise known, we all know, as DOGE, the Recreational Boating Fishing Fund, and the Department of Interior. What does this mean? Well, it means the U.S. government for right now is getting out of the business of promoting fishing and boating. Well, you can imagine the hand-wringing that's going on across the sector of people who sell products to people who fish and boat. If you're Johnny Morris and you sell Tracker boats, or if you're Sea Ray, it doesn't matter who you are. You have to have more customers buying more product for you to prosper. And a huge part of the Recreational Boating and Fishing Foundation's funds for all these years have gone to promote getting people outdoors, getting them to buy equipment, getting them to use the outdoors. Well, the Department of Interior said, maybe we shouldn't be doing that anymore. To go back to what I spent the first part of the show talking about, is it possible that we have too many people enjoying the outdoors and that we ought to rethink this whole process of promoting the outdoors? And when I'm talking about promoting the outdoors, I'm not talking about hiking, you know, biking along the Chicago lakefront, of which tried that recently, or jogging on the Chicago lakefront. You're not alone. You don't want to be alone, but you certainly have a crowd. America's gone to the outdoors, and it started long before the pandemic, but it's certainly accelerated. So in real numbers, we're talking about millions of dollars that would not be spent to promote people going in the outdoors and buying equipment. This comes to another part of the deep-seated equation, and that is, all the proponents of using the great outdoors benefit, commercial opponents benefit from people using the great outdoors. There's not a retailer who doesn't want more customers, whether you're Orbis or Patagonia or Bass Pro, Cabela's, Dick's Sporting Goods. It doesn't matter. You have to have more customers or the same number of customers buying a lot more things to be able to prosper. So if there are going to be fewer people, so the fear that was released with this relief of the statement was that we're likely to see an 8% drop in fishing license sales this year alone, which will reverse a long-term trend we've worked so hard to build. If this plays out nationally, the economic loss could exceed $18 billion and 90,000 jobs are at risk. Oh my goodness, the sky is falling. The sky is not falling. $18 billion. If you're telling me that an 8% drop in fishing license sales and boating usage is going to result in an $18 billion economic loss, then the impact of fishing and boating in America is trillions of dollars, which it's not. So somewhere the numbers are not adding up. And that to say that 90,000 jobs are at risk if you have an 8% drop in fishing license sales, I'm sorry, I don't think that has any credibility. 8% and 90,000 jobs, that means we're employing an awful lot more people in the fishing industry and the boating industry than anyone thinks we are. So once again, I think you have to dig below the surface to understand what's going on. The individuals writing the sky is falling report all are dependent on customers who hunt, or in this case, who fish and boat. There's nothing wrong with that. That's wonderful. But they're not unbiased. They have a very clear objective: sell more gear to you and me and anyone visiting America. That's the objective. And they don't like the idea that there'll be less money spent to promote the products or the industries in which they exist to sell products to all of us. All this is going to come full circle. Too many people using too few spaces. And what are we going to do about it? So in the middle of summer, I hate to leave you with that sort of heavy thought, but we're going to have to address it. Next week, I'm going to talk a little bit more about some of these things. But before I sign off, on a happy note, I started rereading Tom Sawyer's Huckleberry Finn, Mark Twain, the other day. It's absolutely fabulous. It took me back to my childhood and book I read, of course, so long ago. So if you're looking for something to do this week, go grab Tom Sawyer, Huckleberry Finn, and step back in time and enjoy a time when there weren't so many of us in the outdoors. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.